Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, November 8th, 2019, and I'm Ray Hanania, special U.S. correspondent for the Arab News newspaper, and you're listening to the Arab Street Radio and podcast broadcast from Detroit, Michigan, through 690 AM WNZK Radio. For more information, you can go to my website at hanania.com, and afterwards, you can get the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or by visiting my podcast website at thearabstreet.org. Our topics this morning, Arabs running for Congress is one of them, Justin Amash. I mean, listen, to all these Arabs that we have, Justin Amash, who's in Congress, Rashida Tlaib, who I don't think is going to get reelected, Ilhan Omar, who's in the middle of, she just completed a divorce, and now I think she's dating her campaign advisor, Rush Darwish, out here in Chicago, running in the 3rd District, and Amar Kampan-Najjar, who's running in California. We're also going to talk about AIPAC, Israel's pernicious lobby in the U.S., which brutalizes voices in Congress who challenge Israel and it donates hundreds of thousands of dollars to pro-Israel congressmen to keep them in line, like this Menendez. I think he got $500,000 through AIPAC, which is an umbrella organization. The one issue that came up with Rush Darwish, and I want to talk about this because I wrote about it on my website at the Arab Daily News. He's in a basically a three-way race, but there are 4 candidates. Abe Matthew, who's Greek-American, I believe, is running. He's a new candidate. I don't, know, he's a good guy, and all these candidates are good guys. I just don't think he's going to get much of a vote. But Rush is in there, and he's really appealed to the Arab vote in the 3rd District in Illinois. And I think he's going to get a lot of Arab-American support, but I don't think it's going to be more than a few thousand votes in the 3rd District, because there are over 100,000 voters. I think about 7,000 in that district might be Arab-American. Rush probably appeal to mainly the Muslim American activists. He'll get some Christian Arab votes, but it doesn't look like, just talking to some of the Christian Arab leaders, they don't feel he's kind of connected with them. And this is one of the downsides of running as an Arab candidate. You appeal to Arabs, you're going to get tripped up by the problems that exist in the Arab community. The other 2 candidates are the incumbent Dan Lipinski, who's been in office for, I think this is his 6th term now that he's running for. His father was the congressman, Bill Lipinski. He held that job for over 20 years. And he was a Chicago alderman for a number of years before that, and the Democratic committeeman in the 23rd Ward. And the 23rd Ward is one of the biggest voter wards in the city of Chicago that spits out easily 28,000 to 30,000 votes during elections, and it's the base of this race. So Dan Lipinski goes in with a majority of those votes in the 23rd Ward. No one else is going to get, because the 23rd Ward is a machine ward, and they're behind Dan Lipinski almost 100%. And then it stretches out into the suburbs of Chicago, all the way out to Orland Park, where most of the Arabs live. It covers this District 230, which has a lot of Arab Americans in it. And Dan, we'll get a mix there. But it's a very conservative district. Dan is a very conservative Democrat. He's a Reagan Democrat. Rush is very liberal, and Rush is, always been slammed by the Chicago Sun-Times. They basically accused him of being anti-Semitic. It was an effort to help the candidate that the Sun-Times likes. The Sun-Times writer Lynn Sweet wrote the column. It was really a hatchet job, but she was really trying to help Marie Newman. Now, Marie Newman, very strong candidate, very smart. She's worked with and reached out to the Arab community. She's going to still get some Arab votes, despite Rush Darwish being in the race. But Marie Newman came very close to beating Dan Lipinski in 2018, in the March 2018 election. And as you know, Congress runs every 2 years, in March in Illinois. I think it's in August in Michigan. But this Illinois race is interesting because It's not just a question of whether an Arab American who's Palestinian Rosh Darwish can run or not and win. And how much money can he raise and what can he do with it afterwards? Because I don't believe Russia's going to win. I mean, I like the guy. He's smart. All right, probably one of the smartest Arab American candidates I've seen get into politics. But it's an impossible race. But you never know. There's always a 5% chance you could win, you know, for an outsider that just comes in with money and win. But I don't think it's going to be that easy. Marie Newman, though, has a shot at beating Dan Lipinski. And but many people are saying that Rosh Darwish is undercutting her ability to beat Dan. And there are even rumors, which I don't necessarily believe, but they're, you know, this is part of the story. This is politics. These candidates can't be thin-skinned. You know, you can't be Rosh Darwish and be upset, you know, that some people are talking about the race in a way you don't like. Or you can't be Marie Newman. Although Marie Newman did block me from Twitter. I don't get, you know, these politicians. It's okay. I block people, too, you know, from Twitter and Facebook. But I block them if they say hate stuff. You know, I block people from Facebook, Twitter, if they, write things like personal and attack people or me personally, which, you know, when people are stupid and they don't have a ability to engage in discussion or issues, they attack people personally. You know, they'll go after you personally. And, you know, that's just a distraction from their ignorance. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I will block them. But, you know, I don't know. I wasn't very personal about Marie Newman. I think I wrote a column supporting Dan Lipinski in the last election. I didn't know Marie Newman. She never reached out to me, but she did block me, you know, on the last election. And but this time, and so I don't have any idea what Marie Newman is doing. She doesn't want me to see it, which is fine. I don't mind being blocked. But it's going to be interesting. The rumor going around, of course, is Dan Lipinski is, you know, wants Rosh Darwish to run because Rosh Darwish is not going to cut into Dan Lipinski's vote. Rosh Darwish is going to cut in to Marie Newman's vote. Joining me to talk about all these and other topics is my journalism colleague, Ali Younes, who writes for Al Jazeera in Doha, Qatar. Ali, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Ray?
Hey, we're doing good. I'm just giving listeners an overview of many of the Arabs running for Congress. I mentioned Justin Amash. I mentioned Rashida Tlaib. I mentioned Ilhan Omar, who, by the way, finally got her divorce this week, the divorce that she denied she was getting. She did get it. We're talking about Ammar Kamprad-Najjar, who you interviewed last year, I think, or earlier in the year. And Rosh Darwish is in a... it's really four-way, but technically four-way, but it's really a three-way race. He's running against Marie Newman, who blocked me on Twitter. I don't know why. Why would you block me? Yeah. You see my face.
Everybody
am I not a lovable guy? I don't get it. You know, why would they block me? And they're running against Dan Lipinski. And a lot of people think Rosh Darwish is in the race to undermine Marie Newman. I don't know. What do you think about all these? Any names that pop up that you want to start talking about, we can.
Well, you know, because, you know, Chicago is close to home as far as, you know, many people in the community, and you, certainly. I interviewed Marie Newman also last year when she was, 2 years ago when she was in office, running for office. And, you know, I published a story. I write for Al Jazeera English. And I also interviewed Ammar Kamprad-Najjar. With Marie Newman, I think she came very close. You know, she came very close, maybe 2,000 votes. That's the closest thing. And the thing about Marie Newman is that she is in Chicago area, and you probably know more than me, and she's the only one who come close to endorse almost all of the Palestinian demands.
Yes.
For recognition in the community, for recognition, Palestinian state, human rights issues, you know, violations of Israel against the Palestinians, and also the Palestinians have local domestic issues. You know, they want more connections with the government. They want to be recognized as a viable community, not just to be treated as run of the mill who don't matter in the election.
Actually, they're just ignored out here. Most of them are ignored.
Yeah.
And Dan Lipinski has ignored the, you know, the Palestinians.
And his father.
Up until that race when Marie Newman got in.
Yes. Yeah, and before him, his father, Bill Lipinski. I don't think the Arab community, you know, save for maybe a few, you know, operatives in the community, you know, machine politics, that kind of thing. But Marie Newman, you know, she came very close. And I think, you know, that time, it was, you know, the division within the community that deprived her of, you know, clinching that seat. Yeah. And this time around, you know, it's more, even more bizarre to me that you remember the community Rush Derwish, who runs not on a program, because I haven't seen any program from him, what I saw, based on what you told me and what you said, what you've written maybe, and his public announcement.
You're right. Rush is a good guy. I mean, listen, he's like, honestly,
Alex,
he's like you and me. He's more of an American Arab. And he understands politics, but you're right. His campaign is focused mainly on, you know, the Arab community.
Yeah. He's running as an Arab candidate.
Yes.
You know, the key thing, you know, I can't run as an Arab candidate or a Jewish candidate or an Italian or Mexican candidate. I run as an American candidate. You're an American.
And he has some creepy people, you know, hanging around. There are a couple, not all of them, but... I guess he can't.
I don't know. I'm not there
people.
To know who was creepy.
Well, I'm going to Ali Atta, who was one of the guys who testified against, what's his name? Who went to jail. Oh, my gosh. Tony Resco.
Tony Resco.
Ali Atta was a tube the Arab community, and I saw that they put out a photo with Rush Darwish, Rush's
father. Ali Atta is endorsing him?
And Ali Atta is in that picture, and I'm going, oh, my God, Rush, what are you
doing? Ali Atta was involved.
That he was released with probation, you know, given time.
Blagojevich case.
Yeah, well, he was the Blagojevich case and the Resco case, but it just, he's the kind of person that you just don't want to be around in politics. And, you know, so to see his picture... You know, with Rush, you know, and his dad and a few other people, it was like, ugh, sure, I want the public to understand who this Ali Atta is. He emerged as a key figure in the investigation of former Governor Rob Blagojevich, and he was appointed to a top post with the Illinois Finance Authority after he gave $25,000 to Blagojevich's campaign. And that was in 2002. He lied on his income tax returns. But he was spared prison. You know, he faced, I think, 18 months in prison, but Judge James Zagel sentenced him to 4 years of probation back in 2012 because he was one of the sources against Resco and Blagojevich. He turned after he was charged, and he flipped and then worked with the FBI and worked with the Justice Department to put Tony Resco in prison. And
he was a key witness.
Pardon me?
He was a key witness.
Yeah, he was a key witness, and he pled guilty in 2008 to making false statements. He alleged Blagojevich was present at a meeting when Atta handed the $25,000 check to get the job of Illinois Finance Authority Director. So, people should know who Ali Atta is accurately, and, you know, I don't want to just kind of brush it off as the generic thing, and they think, oh, you don't like them. It has nothing to do with like. It has to do with what people did, you know, in the community. And Tony Resco, who really was, I think, a very decent person, he worked so hard for the Arab community. He was trashed. Partly because I think he was Arab, and Ali Atta helped, you know, doom him when he was in court. So he spent 8 years in prison as a result of all this stuff. So anyway, just a little background on Ali Atta that's why it's so disturbing to me to see a picture of him with, you know, Rush Darwish. But, you know, people are going to do whatever they're going to do. You know, what are you doing, Rush? Because... it doesn't make sense what Rush is doing. It just seems almost that he's going to tube Marie Newman and undermine Marie Newman's ability to beat Dan. And that leads to all kinds of suspicions, right? I just don't believe Rush.
It seems to me that Rush is not running on a program. an election program for to cater for the entire district, because this district only maybe 20% or 30% Arab Americans. I'm not sure.
Well, it's even, listen, it's probably about 10%. You know, you get about 120,000 votes. There are about 10,000 maybe Arab American voters. But you got to keep in mind, the Christian Arab American voters, who are the majority, have backed, they're conservative, and they backed Dan Lipinski. Nobody's really appealed to them. So when you count Arab votes, they go, oh, there are 10,000 Arabs. Yeah, but you're not going to get 10,000 Arab votes because more than half those votes, 65%.
Only 10,000 Arabs in this
vote. Lipinski. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just surprised that only 10,000 Arab votes in this district. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's based on the, the voter roll that, you know, that I was able to look at and collect. You could, you know, pull all the votes in a district and identify the Arab vote. So we identified about 10,000 based on name.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rush is not appealing to the district wide. He goes around, from what I heard, that I am an Arab American. I am one of you guys, and therefore you should back me up because I'm a member of the community. I'm the son of this community. Yeah. You know, that's a great thing. No one is against Rush, but I think you should look for the wider interest of the community, you know, instead of, you know, keeping Dan Lipinski, in my opinion, who is very conservative Democrat. I think he's like more a Southern Democrat, over the past.
I think Rush is looking at Rashida Tlaib's victory, in which she got, 30% of the vote and won the Democratic primary because the African-American vote split. But that's not happening in the 3rd District in Illinois.
Rashida was a member of the Michigan legislature. She was a member of the Michigan legislature.
Of service, right?
Yeah, she was in the loop.
Yes, she was. This is Rush Darwish's first big election, and I think it's a mistake on his part, one, to run for Congress. Because honestly, I'm telling you, Rush is a good guy. Rush is smart. Rush is intelligent. It's just that he's kind of been pulled into this dark, you know, negative Arab critical side where the activists, you know, control stuff, you know, and then, you know, they get the screaming and the emotion, and he's not in the mainstream of the Arab community, I don't think, anymore. And I think that when the election comes up in March, our election's March 17th, we're still, you know what, 4 or 5 months away. There's still some time for him to change. He's raised a lot of money. But I think when you look at the numbers, his numbers are going to really wash out to reflect a segment of the Arab community, a segment of American voters. But Marie Newman will either come close or she'll beat Dan Lipinski. But with Rush in the race, I don't think he can win. I think he really is doing a number on her, not Dan Lipinski.
Well, it depends. If the community is well aware of the larger picture, if the community is aware of the larger picture that their vote is going to divide, it will divide the race and put Dan Lipinski on top.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Allie, let's take a quick break, okay, because we missed one of our break spots. Let's do that, and when we come back, we'll talk. You're listening to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast, broadcast from Detroit, Michigan, through 690 AM WNZK. I'm Ray Hanania. With me is Ali Yunus, who writes for Al Jazeera English, and Doha Qatar, my journalism colleague and buddy, former Chicagoan from the Chicago area. He's on the line with us, and we're talking about Arabs running for Congress. We're talking a little bit about Rush Darwish, but we'll talk about some of the other candidates too. But first, we're going to take a break, so we'll be right back right after these messages. And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast, broadcast from Detroit, Michigan, and 690 AM WNZK Radio. I'm Ray Hanania. On the line with me is Ali Yunus, a writer and investigative reporter for Al Jazeera English, based in Doha, Qatar. We were talking about Marie Newman also. And Marie Newman, one of the things she's done to appeal to Arabs is she's you're right. She's addressed many of the issues, not all of them. I mean, she doesn't agree with 100%. Like, she's changed a little bit, I think, on BDS. But outside of that, she's been very pro-Arab. And her campaign manager, Shaden Malley, is Palestinian-American. So she's really reached out to the Arab-American community. Don Wagner is one of her big supporters, too. Don is a big activist in the Arab American community. So Rush is, you know, he's really fighting an uphill fight, isn't he? It, relying on the
Arab I think Rush, you know, I wish him well, but I think he should look for the interest of the community, not his own interest. If he says, you know, I'm running for Congress because I want to help our community, I want to help our causes in Congress or in the U.S. and you know, alleviate the suffering of our people overseas, that's his message. I think the best way to do it is supporting Marie Newman, not undermining her campaign, because Marie Newman, and I'm not an advocate for Marie Newman, but I've read her, I've interviewed her before, I've read her statements and her mission statement when it comes to the Palestinian issue or the Arab American issue, you know, both Muslim and Christians, and she is very progressive when it comes to these things. You know, in fact, she runs on a progressive ticket in Chicago, yeah. And she's supported by a progressive, and she came close. And I think if Rush want to help his people, I think allow Marie Newman to run and have a shot at the seat instead of undermining her shot, you know, just because you want to have a name.
I think Marie Newman has a real strong chance of winning. If it were just her and Lipinski again, I think she would be the winner. That's why, I mean, listen, I have no evidence to support this, but people in the community are saying that Dan Lipinski and Rush, they must have, you know, cut a deal somehow, because the only purpose for Rush is to undermine Marie Newman. And I really think, you know, such a smart guy, I think this is, it doesn't make sense to just run on an Arab platform in a congressional race unless you're just trying to become famous in the Arab community. Already, I don't know if you saw that Sun-Times story. The Sun-Times went after him viciously and unfairly, I might say. Lynn Sweet was not fair to Rush Darwish. He didn't deserve the attack, but, you know, that's the soft spot when you're an Arab American. They're going to suggest you're anti-Semitic. They're going to say that, and they quoted, they said that he appeared on a radio show with me, and he attacked me, according to the Sun-Times, he attacked me for saying that that what I said, Rush, what do you hate, Israelis or hate Jews or something like that? And he supposedly said to me, what do you like Jews or something like that? And I got to be honest, he and I did so many radio interviews together on his radio show. I don't know how, I don't even remember that conversation. Do you know what I mean? So somebody did some real work and a number on him. I think that they may have even made that up, to be honest with you, because I don't know where that quote came. But Rush immediately apologized for it, like, oh, yeah, he's guilty, I'm sorry. I would have stood up to her, and I would have slammed her back and said, you know, the Sun-Times is a racist newspaper. You hate Arabs. You constantly criticize the Arab community. But instead, he kind of wussed out in response in the quotes in the Sun-Times.
Yeah. It is complicated, and Rush is not making things easy, because he's fighting an uphill battle, and his past statements, and you saw his responses with Lynn Sweet about his issues with the Jews, with the Zionism, with BDS. You know, if you want a politician, you have to cater to all of views, and you have to consider what people think, especially if you wanted to represent them in Congress, and you need to know how to frame your issues and how to speak to the media. And I think Rush is still he's not doing very well in this area. And I wish him well, and I think he's a great guy. You know, he was in a talk show with you, I think, at some point.
Rush, I'm telling you, Rush is a great guy. He's a good guy. And I just think this was a huge mistake. I think he's hanging around with the wrong people. And he could be such a better, candidate, I think. If he had picked a different race, he could have run for another race. And I think he would have done well. He could run for trustee in a village and work his way up, the way you pointed out that other candidate, that people like Rashida Tlaib, she worked her way up, to... Although I don't think Rashida's going to get reelected. But Rush is right about AIPAC. And the Sun-Times is wrong. The Sun-Times attacked him, making it sound like Rush said something anti-Semitic, that AIPAC gave Lipinski $15,000. And the Sun-Times said, no, AIPAC doesn't donate money, is not a PAC. That's a lie. AIPAC is an umbrella organization that coordinates 500 PACs that are run by its board members. And they donate money as a group. It's really pathetic. The way the Sun-Times...
Because they hold him rush. He's a new guy. He doesn't know his way around these things, and I think misspoke. Yeah. He just made a statement out of ignorance, maybe out of stereo type, not out of knowledge or defamatory intent on his part against
AIPAC. Well, in that AIPAC thing, I think he's right. They gave him AIPAC indirectly gave Lipinski $15,000, and AIPAC pretty much has members of Congress in a headlock. Menendez got almost $600,000, to run for office. All the big pro-Israel members of Congress.
Yeah, maybe the media say AIPAC gave, but, more accurately, it's maybe members of AIPAC who gave, not AIPAC as an organization.
Listen, like you said just correctly, because AIPAC doesn't run a sham. AIPAC is running a sham. AIPAC's board members coordinate their PACs, and the Sun-Times should investigate. No one has investigated how AIPAC does it, other than the investigative reporters of the Middle East. They have a conference coming up, I think, in March, where they get into AIPAC and they show you how AIPAC board members run PACs, and they meet together and they decide and write checks to members of Congress. So I actually think...
Well, Al Jazeera made a big investigation on AIPAC. Yeah. Al Jazeera investigation. Big unit in Al Jazeera.
Yes.
But a huge investigation on AIPAC, as a lobby.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, they made a big investigation, but unfortunately it was not, distributed widely. But they made a big investigation on AIPAC and how they operate and, have a big voice in the U.S. Congress and U.S. politics. And look, they're not shying of who they are. They said, we support Israel. And we support the alliance between Israel and America. And look what they're doing. Many victories, So it's recognizable what they've done. But I think for the counterpart, for the Arab community or the Palestinian community, what have they done, to counter that, The playing field is open.
Yes, let's take one caller who's calling in, Bob. And I think I know who he is. He's a great guy, too. Oh, very smart.
Of course you know who I am. And Ali is my long-lost cousin. How are you, my Irish brother?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Bob.
I'm great. Hey, the thing that I think we're really missing here is what is happening within the community. You're seeing awakening within the Arab community that is marvelous. Shadin herself got her job because Russia's running.
Well, Shaden has been with Listen, Shaden's been working with Marie Newman in the first election before even Rush got into the picture.
Working with her and being promoted and elevated to that position did not happen until after Rush announced his candidacy.
That would be smart politics, wouldn't it, on Marie's part?
Absolutely.
The Arabs, what do you think?
Is you're seeing that elevation within the Arab community. You're also seeing an energized base now. You're seeing
the Arabs are interested in it. But listen, Bob, let me ask you a question. One, do you think Rush can win this election, honestly?
If the base motivates and if the base gets out and if a lot more people are now energized to get in that, there is a pathway to victory. It's very small. It's very narrow. And that the rubber has to hit the road here quickly, but everybody's got to get out and vote. And it's really, that's what's going to happen. Rush has spent the last, 15 years trying to mobilize the community to get politically involved. And I think if nothing else happens out of this, this is a huge victory for the community because you're going to see an awakening and you're going to see a lot more people going, well, if Rush can run, so can I. And I think you're going to see a lot of.
Listen, I agree with you. I think that's good. What do you think, Ali? Let's hear from Ali.
It's a valid point. It's a valid point. But, there's another person, another guy who ran for commissioner. And I don't think he made it.
No, he didn't. He came close. Abdel Nasser Rashid ran against a Republican. He was a Democrat running against Sean Morrison for Cook County Commissioner. He came close, But I thought, my personal opinion, I thought he was really too extreme. He didn't represent the mainstream Arab American
when Bob talking about the base, you know, we've discussed that the community is only maybe, you said 10,000 votes? I don't know, well, you know, exactly, 10, but you said 10,000 votes.
In the district.
That's not enough votes to win. To win the seat, I think you have to appeal to the wider district, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, there's maybe Hispanics, you know, whites, you know, blacks, other communities in there.
You're right, Ellie. He should have appealed to the. He would have been much more successful appealing to the Hispanic voters and their issues than to the Arab voters, because as an Arab, most Arabs are going to vote for Rush anyway. I think. I don't know. Anyway, Bob, listen. Thank you.
Always good talking with you guys. Have a good
show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
I don't want Rush to get upset that we're talking about his election, but when you run for office, you got to take everything together. I don't want him to ban me on Twitter the way Marie Newman banned me. You know? All right, now listen, we're going to take
Rashida Tlaib, I think Rashida Tlaib banned you, blocked you, didn't she?
Yeah, Rashida Tlaib banned me too. What is it about them? They don't like me. You know, I don't know. I don't get it because you know what? Besides you, Allie, there aren't too many other Arab Americans who write objectively about politics and elections. They're not used to it. Rashida Tlaib isn't used to having somebody do an objective piece from the Arab community. They assume, hey, he's Arab. He should be supporting me. But no, I'm not going to support Rashida Tlaib. I think she's a terrible candidate, even though what she symbolizes is a good cause. Anyway, let's take a quick
look.
We have to take a break here at the Arab Street Radio and Podcast, broadcast from Detroit, Michigan, through 690 AM WNZK Radio. I'm Ray Hannon. Yeah, on the line with me is Ali Yunus, a phenomenal writer and reporter and investigative writer for Al Jazeera English in Doha, Qatar. We're going to be right back right after these messages. And we're back here at the Arab Street Radio and Podcast, broadcast from Detroit, Michigan, through 690 AM WNZK Radio. We're broadcasting the greater Detroit region on WNZK 690 AM Radio live. And a lot of people listen to the radio show by, connecting online on their computers. You can hear the show all over the world. And we do have a lot of listeners. I get a lot of emails from people. Not everybody calls in. We want to thank Bob for calling in. I think he's actively involved in the local election. He had some pretty good points. On the line with me is a great colleague of mine in journalism, longtime Chicago activist and writer, Ali Yunus, who now writes for Al Jazeera English in Doha, Qatar. Right. Justin Mash is a Republican congressman who now has become an independent. He broke with Donald Trump, and really become one of the only Republican critics, significant, you know, voices against Donald Trump. Then he now is identifying himself as an independent. The one I meant to say was Amar Kampanajar. Tell us about Amar Kampanajar.
Yeah, Amar also came close to run. Amar's father is a Palestinian, former PLO. I mean, a grandfather, not father, grandfather.
Right.
Was assassinated. Yeah, grandfather was assassinated by Israel in 1973, way before Amar was born. And Duncan Hunter, the incumbent for California District 50, has been you know, extremely racist against Amar and using, you know, the heritage of Amar as an Arab and as Palestinian, you know, insinuating and sometimes saying outright that, you know, this is an issue of national security, this is an issue of terrorism, this is terrorism stuff, and they should, you know, scaring people from, you know, voting for Amar. But Amar, I think, has a good chance. He has several millions in his war chest campaign. He's been endorsed by national figures, members of Congress, Adam Schiff, local politician, among them Adam Schiff, and other members of Congress in California. And I think he has a good shot. And Amar
he wasn't attacked by the Chicago Sun-Times for being anti-Semitic. There were a lot of papers.
It's a California.
Original stories from this guy, Hunter, you know, who, by the way, was indicted. Hunter was indicted for, using $250,000 in his campaign funds for personal use illegally. And I think his trial comes up in January. So Hunter, yeah. I think Hunter is in trouble in Kappa Najjar, despite the vicious anti-Palestinian nature of his opponent's, you know, campaign against him. I think Kappa Najjar actually has a pretty good shot, doesn't he?
Yes, yes, yes. He had a good shot. I mean, I think he came like 30% of the field was wide open. But in California, the election is not just the primary is several primary people and maybe the one or two.
It's and a maybe strange election. It could
be a three-way or four-ways.
They take the top two candidates, and he came in second, yes. I think, behind Hunter. And then he has to run again. They have everybody run in an open primary, I think they call it. Democrats and Republicans, they all run together. You could actually have two Republicans win the top two seats, I think. And then they run in November, I guess. I don't know. It's a weird situation. I don't know how they do that. Those people in California, they must be drinking something that's in the water. I have no idea.
So Amar deserves. I mean, he was an ex-Obama official, and when it comes to the Palestinian issue, because you know that the district is Hispanic and white. There's not a lot of Arab.
Well, his mother is Hispanic. Maybe too.
His mother is Mexican American.
So I mean, he's half Palestinian.
A lot of Syrians there too. He told me.
Yes, a lot of Syrians, and you know they got a pretty good Arab activism base in California. I mean, they've elected
not in his district, San Diego. Not in district. I think there's a lot of Assyrians there. He told me not Syrians, Assyrians, and but
Daryl Issa is Syrian. He was the former representative, I think, right? Wasn't he?
Who?
Daryl Issa. Daryl Issa was
Daryl Issa is Lebanese. Yeah, he's a former, not of this district. Daryl Issa is from another California district.
Some of us still consider Lebanese Arabs. Not all the Lebanese consider themselves Arabs, but some of us do. So, that'll be an interesting race.
What's his name? Yes, Lahoud is in Peoria. He's, I think, what's his name?
In Illinois, Ray Lahoud. He's the only Arab that I know that supported Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. The father and the son who took over
in the rest of it. Really? He supported it? I didn't know that. He supported that.
It's terrible. I don't get these, these people that, you're Arab American, Lebanese or not. You got to stand up for Arab issues. Unfortunately, not everybody does it. Now, let's talk about Ilhan Omar, the two most famous Arabs in Congress, right? Ilhan Omar, who's Somali, and Rashida Tlaib, who are Palestinian. It looks like Rashida is shifting gears now because she has an election, a primary, in August. And, she won because the black vote, which is 70% of her district, split over four candidates, I think, three or four candidates. Their vote split. But if there's only one black candidate, I don't see Rashida winning re-election. So she shifted towards issues in her district now, rather than being the voice of Palestinian, the Palestinian revolution. The way she has.
I don't think a member of Congress should be a single issue person. You can't. Right. There are Jewish American members of Congress did not just have Israel on their table to discuss and to advocate. They have, the community, Rashida's community district is Detroit, and I think the majority of that district is African-American. So, they put it in Congress to help them, to advocate for them, to fight for them, not to fight for the Palestinian cause. Yeah, that's great, because her background, and it's honorable for all members of Congress to support the Palestinian issues, to support peace and security for the Palestinians. But to make it a singular issue, I don't think that's going to win her any elections in the U.S. because you don't have a majority Palestinian district in the U.S. And it's simple math. I'm not a genius. I'm not saying something that nobody knows.
Right.
It's obvious. I'm just stating the obvious.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
If Rashida wants to win, she has to come back to the basics of politics in her district and talk to the people and make sure that she hears them, because a lot of people might be upset with her if she becomes more of an internationalist as opposed to domestic politician and local politician to help them as a district in Congress.
Yeah, I agree. And Ilhan Omar, I think, is the one who is probably on the strongest base. And so that's why AIPAC and their allies, have the pro-Israel movement, has really targeted Ilhan even more than Rashida, I think, because Ilhan comes from a district that has elected a Muslim, you know, prior to her. And I think that even in Minnesota, Betty McCollum, who's not Arab, has been one of the most outspoken pro-Palestinian members of Congress. Here's a woman who really deserves so much more support, Betty McCollum, you know, for standing up for principle the way she does, and she still manages to win re-election. She has a strong base. You know, the Arabs should be rallying around Betty McCollum and helping her do much more than they do. I don't think they do enough for her.
Yeah, you know, Minnesota, I mean, you know, a lot of, it's a very progressive state, you know, and, you know, they elected Keith Ellison and Betty McCollum and Ilhan Omar and, what's his name, the former wrestler as a governor.
Oh, what's the one who's the paranoid guy. What's his name? That's what happens. You know, you when you get out of politics, you just drift off. He was, wasn't, yeah, he was a pro wrestler, wasn't he?
Yes.
Let me look him up. I'll get him. I'll find this guy. Yeah, here it is. Jesse Ventura. That's it.
Jesse Ventura. Yes, Jesse Ventura. And
looked his name up on Google. It's been so many years that he's
elected a comedian. You know, as a senator, and who resigned, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was, we got to look him up, too. Senator
Al Franken. Al Franken.
Yeah, Al Franken. There's another one.
Al Franken. So, you know, and Ilhan Omar.
So are you telling me that Minnesota is more in the water? Are you telling me there's more in the water in Minnesota than there is in California?
But Ilhan Omar's district has a lot of Somali.
Ali, I hate to do this. We got one more break, I believe. And this, I think, is our... Right, Mike? Do we have one more break, I guess, right?
Yep, yeah.
Let's take this break, and then we'll come back and finish up the show. Time flies when you're having fun, Ali. My guest on the line, Ali Yunus, hang on. We'll do one more break, and we'll be right back, right after these messages. And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio. I'm Ray Hanania. Here on WNZK AM 690 with my journalism colleague, investigative reporter Ali Yunus, who writes for Al Jazeera English in Doha, Qatar. I write for the Arab News in Riyadh and Dubai. And we focus on Middle East issues as well as issues here in the United States. Ali, let's switch to another topic, if you don't mind. Mike Bloomberg. I got a chance to interview Mike Bloomberg when I was in New York in September. Real smart guy and very sympathetic, I found, to, not pro-Palestinian, but he was very sensitive to the Palestinian issues. He and I talked a little bit about that, and now he's thinking about running for president. I think Bloomberg could actually beat Trump. I don't think any of the Democrats can beat Trump, but I think Bloomberg can. What do you think?
Well, Bloomberg, you know, has a 50 billion reason to beat Trump.
He does.
You know?
He has a lot of money.
So he could donate
probably has
a billion
more
dollars
money than
his campaign. Yeah, he could donate $1 billion to his campaign. But, you know, Bloomberg, you know, is in New York, and he's a Democrat, and he could win New York and probably California and all that stuff. But if he comes in as a candidate, you know, him being a Jewish American, but also liberal Jewish American, and that you know will probably, you know, have a big issue with the Republican Jewish groups who are, you know, shifting to the right, and versus the traditional Jewish Democrats who always been, you know, supported the Democratic Party. But mind you, and there's a lot of diversity within the Jewish American groups when it comes to Israel and the Palestinian two state and one state. And I think most of the American Jewish people are liberal and they support two-state solution. You know, but you don't see that a lot because a lot of American politicians, in my opinion, they just more extreme than the Jewish Americans that they represent. They think that by advocating harsh stances on this issue of peace between Israel and the Palestinians, they think they could win favor with the Jewish Americans. But I think Jewish Americans, they support two-state, and they are opposing occupation. I've read more and more. You read the...
I was going to say there's 17 Democratic candidates running against Trump. Several have dropped out. But Bloomberg, it could be like Rashida Tlaib. You don't have to win the majority. All you got to do is win a plurality, you know, in the primary, right? You win the primaries, and then you win the nomination. I just don't – Bernie Sanders is my favorite candidate. Everybody thinks that I'm supporting Trump. I only supported Trump because it was a choice between Trump and Hillary Clinton, and I'm not going to support Hillary Clinton because of what she did to the Palestinians in Gaza. I'll never support her, and I think that Bill Clinton, her husband, tubed us, you know, with Ehud Barak when they tried to revive that peace process. They tubed Yasser Arafat, and they made him look like the bad guy the way they always did. So I'll never support the Clintons again. But Joe Biden, I just don't think he has it. Senator Elizabeth Warren, I think she's too extreme. Bernie Sanders, I'm not sure, who's Jewish, I'm not sure he could win. I wish he would, because I think he's the best candidate. He's spoken so principled about, you know, Arab and Palestinian issues. But I think Bloomberg is a version of Bernie Sanders who I think is more mainstream, and I think he could win. I don't know. Politics is a guessing game, though, right?
Yes, but Elizabeth Warren has a shot. You know, I think Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Joe Biden. But Joe Biden comes across to me, at least, as a old school politician. Comes from the Obama administration, and I don't think we will see a lot of new blood with the Biden administration. But Elizabeth Warren, I think it'll be a change of guards when it comes to the Democratic Party. She will bring in more new blood to that to the U.S. and to the administration as a Democrat. But Joe Biden will be a continuation of Obama administration. And Obama administration, looking at hindsight now, when it comes to the Middle East at least, it was a weak presidency.
Yes.
He could not stand up to the Republicans in Congress. He could not nominate his own, the second nominee for the Supreme Court. They were just railroaded him all over the place. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham.
Obama was everybody. All talk. Obama was all talk, and he couldn't deliver. And he was sweet talk. He would get up there and say things that everybody liked. And even Michelle Obama, she said some stuff about white flight. I wrote a column about criticizing her because she said, "You white folk, you white people." And to me, that's like stereotyping. So it upset me that she would stereotype and get away with it. Allie, we have less than a minute left, so we got to kind of end it. Allie Yunus, my buddy, you take it easy. Thank you for joining us this morning on Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania, everybody out there in Michigan and online. Thank you so much for listening. You guys take it easy, everybody. Bye-bye.